Well, today we're continuing in our series that we started last week. We started a series last week called Discovering Team Destiny. Discovering Team Destiny. And it's important that we take time every so often to go back and to kind of go over our core values of who we are as a church. And even though we may not go back to the extent we did when we first started, it's still important that we go back and hit some of the highlights and to have some of our core values still come to constantly remain in front of us and know who we are. Scripture is very clear that our people lack for what? The spirit of what? Vision. There's people lack and perish when there is no vision. When there's not clarity of where we're going and what's important to us, then we kind of wander around. Like, you know, when we're around the desert, God ain't focused. So it's important that we stay focused and knowing what has God called us to do? Why has God put Destiny Church here? Why is there something going on here? And what is that purpose? Are we just meeting to have a place to meet? If that be the case, we should shut the doors down because there's churches meeting all across the four-state area. But it's important for us to define who we are and what we're doing and where we're going. And know that God has given us pure direction in that. Last week, if you were not here last week, I urge you, with everything within you, is your passion, to go online, MyDestinyChurch.com, and download that message. If you don't have that access to the internet and do that, go buy the sound booth and give them your name, and we'll have one for you next week free of charge. We should charge those CDs, but I will give you one free if you can't get that, because I believe it's so important that you hear these messages as we're speaking. Last week we talked about unwrapping your spiritual gifts, and we have discovered that every one of us that God wants to use, that every one of us, God has spiritual gifts that He wants to use within us, that as we receive gifts naturally when we're born into this physical world, the gift of sight or touch, we have senses that we're giving with. The same thing happens in the spiritual realm, that God gives every one of us a special gift to be used in the spiritual sense when we are born spiritually to the kingdom of God. So every one of us have spiritual gifts that have been given to us, no exception. You know, you ever heard when you was a kid that someone said, you know, Pastor, when you was a kid, God was passing out brains, and you guys had trains, and He told you to go down to the train tracks, and you didn't get any, you know, those jokes you say as a kid. Well, that didn't happen to us. You know, none of us went down to the train tracks, expect to get brains. But what happened is this, that every one of us, okay, no exception, received our spiritual gifts. None of us were overlooked. Now, the problem is this, not every one of us learned to develop them. And that's where the discrepancy is, that we may have the spiritual gifts in us, but we have got to learn to develop the gift within us. So that special last week will give you some insight on discovering your gifts and seeing what they are and learning how to develop them. Some very practical insight. And knowing this, the Destiny Church is built here today because of people who have come in and said, I'm going to be a part of the team. This is not a one-man show. Will it ever be a one-man show? It'll not be a two-man show. Will it not be a three-man show? Or a three-woman show? Whatever you want to call it. Nothing. It's not about any of that. It's about team of people coming together and saying, I want to be a part of God's team that He's putting together. That's how it's going to go forward. That's how God has put in our hearts. What we call it Destiny Church. Because I believe that you have a God-given destiny. That every one of us have a God-given destiny. And God has got a destiny for you and your life and your family. And so we're discovering that process and learning what it means to unwrap the spiritual gifts. So if you cannot download that, stop by the sound booth and tell them, and we'll make sure to get you a free copy of that, okay? Today I want to talk to you about discovering lasting friendships. Discovering lasting friendships. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Do you do that? Turn to the person and say, I need you. Smile a little bit. For some of you, it's the first time you told your wife that all week, isn't it? Okay. For those of you who are sent by a spouse, you feel kind of funny about that. That's okay. It's you know. Don't you turn to the next person and embarrass yourself again and say, I need you. I need you. We need each other, don't we? Today, if you're here and you think that you don't need anybody, I say you're in the right spot, because you're going to find today you do need somebody. We all need somebody. Everybody needs somebody. And today we've got to learn that there is no lone rangers, okay? And people who isolate themselves die very lonely, unfulfilled in their destiny. And today God has ordained, in fact, God speaks a lot about relationships and how much we need each other. How much God has called us to be people of a relationship. The first part of a relationship is what? That God has called us to have a vertical relationship with Him. But the second thing we see, God has called us to have a horizontal relationship with each other. And both of those things are spoken about in the Bible very clearly. Both of those things today are very clear and wrote out in the Bible in a very clear way that we see that we are called to develop lasting, effective friendships. And it's a very spiritual thing today. If you're here today, say, Pastor, developing friendships, that looks like a spiritual message today. When we get through it, you're going to understand it's a very spiritual thing because God spent a lot of time speaking about it in the Scripture. And so we're going to talk about it today. Our text is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Let's read it together. It says this: Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man. There's a I pity the fool. Alright, what's your T accent there? Some of you guys, 80s and above, you know what I'm talking about, the 80s. Welcome to the 80s, alright. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Two are better than one. What's the saying? It's saying there's nobody's called to walk the earth alone. Matter of fact, it says, if you're walking alone, pity be upon you, because you're never called to walk alone. We see in Scripture where he says, it's not good for man to be alone. That's one of the first things God said about man. It's not good for him to be alone. So he created the helpmate, the wife, the spouse. And so from the very institute of mankind, we see where it was never good for us to be isolated, to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. Today I want to talk to you about developing these friendships and to cultivate them and to nurture them. What it means to develop them and to discover them. We're going to talk about to develop lasting friendships. I'm going to give you six things about developing these friendships. Number one, if you want to develop lasting friendships, you must be committed. You must be committed. And I'm not talking about committed in the hospital. I'm talking about committed and your stern belief of this. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I like the way the Good News says it in 18:24 right here. Look, it says, some friendships do not last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. He's saying this, that basically, the man who has lots of companions, they have lots of people. Some of you think you have lots and lots of friends. Well, I know a lot of people, Pastor. I'm a very friendly person. But do you really have the close person we're talking to? Do you really have close, meaning relationships? I'm not talking about surface relationships, shallow relationships, people that you know their name, you say hi to, and you enjoy a good conversation with once in a while when you see them at the store or at work or in the lunchroom. I'm talking about people that you have developed a committed relationship to. People that you have developed this. He says, the man who has many friendships, look, he may have many companions, but they may all just kind of be the room. So, I mean, that doesn't really do you any good. It's basically like having, thank you. Someone read my mind right there. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for somebody who's a servant leader this morning. Thank you, Carlos. The person who has many friends is kind of like the person who has 10 dozen loaves of bread. It all looks good at the start, but you'll never use it all. Before you can use it, what happens? They kind of spoil. They'll get mold and mildew, and you have to throw them away. They're really meaningless. You may say, I have 10 loaves of bread, but you know, you're probably only get to use maybe one or two of those loaves. So it's kind of the same attitude as what he's saying here. That we may have lots of people. You say, now, I have lots of friends, lots of acquaintances, but you really haven't dug into a real relationship with somebody that's beyond the surface and got to a meaningful relationship that you really are missing the boat. Friendship always begins with commitment. That people in society today, we throw away any relationship pretty easy, don't we? We have people that throw away relationships just like that. Something goes wrong in your life, you get fired from your job, and no longer can get a discount at the store, then what happens? They don't want to be your friend. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. People like that, you know, that as long as you can do something for them, then they're your friend, but when things get rough, then they're not there for you anymore, are they? We see these kind of relationships constant. And to be a good friend, you must be committed to saying, you know what, I'm going to stick it out in this relationship. Through what? Number one. Number two, I must be considerate. I must be considerate. Being a good friend, I must be considerate. That's what it says in Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Being a good, true friend is what? It's talking about being considerate. It means this, that a friend doesn't say, I told you so. When you make a mistake, a friend doesn't come to you and say, you know what? I told you. I told you you was going to mess up. I told you you couldn't do it. I told you it was going to hurt. I told you that you'd get in trouble. I told you. A good friend is considerate of your feelings. Being a good friend is being considerate Being a good friend is not coming and tearing them down. Being a good friend is not coming and finding somebody in their time of weakness and saying, ha, 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 ha. I guess you learned your lesson, didn't you? That's not being a good friend. In fact, you'll lose those friends. And so if you want to develop those lasting friendships and be an effective friend according to Scripture, you look what it says. He who covers over an offense promotes love. That means I find a person who has messed up and I help cover them. I mean, we all need people like that in our life. People who are not out to expose me, who are not out to make me look stupid, who are not out to show my weakness, but people who are there to help me, cover me in my time of weakness. People who are out there to help shelter me. People who are out there to help encourage me. People who are out there to cover my offense. So he says, he who covers an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates a close friend. That means I don't have to come out and tell you every mistake you've ever made. As a friend, if I come out and tell you everything you've ever done wrong, then I am separating that friendship. Now, some of you today, you're going to learn why you've lost many friends in your life. Some of you ever wonder, why can I keep a good friend? Maybe today you should take notes on this, okay? Because there happens when you come to a good friend. Well, I'm a good friend, I should be able to tell. But when you come and you tell them, you know what, when they make a mistake, when you come and repeat the matter, and you begin to throw that mistake in your face, you are separating yourself from them. But when I come and say, I love you in spite of your mistakes, I am covering them with love. The Living Bible says it like this: love forgets mistakes, but nagging about them parts the best of friends. I love that word nagging, don't you? Husbands and wives, we can learn a lot from the Scripture, couldn't we? Love forgets mistakes, but nagging about them parts the best of friends. You want to put a damper on your relationship with your spouse? Go home and start nagging about things you don't like, okay? Love does not nag, okay? Love picks the appropriate time. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Love picks the appropriate time to talk about the things that are bothering you. Love does not nag. Love forgets mistakes, and nagging about them parts the best of friends. Number three, I must be confidential. Proverbs 11:13. Look what it says. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. I must be confident. What's that mean, confidential? What's that mean? That means I've got to learn to keep my mouth shut. Being a true friend, learn to develop friendships that go beyond the surface. Is what? What's that mean? That means I got to learn to not talk about what I hear about. You think the person you're trying to be best friends with, when you're always talking about somebody else, you think they're going to learn to confide in you? No! They're going to say, all right, I've already learned one thing. If I tell them my business, they're going to tell somebody else. And so no wonder we never get past surface relationships, because we don't have anybody we can trust. We get around people, we run our mouth about everybody. And listen, we're all guilty of doing that at times in our life. It's a discipline we have to be careful of. It's a discipline we've got to be very careful of, saying, you know what? I've got to learn to be a true friend. And a true friend does not expose everybody's weakness. It doesn't expose their weakness, even in confidence. But I've got to learn. Look what it says. Gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. How many want to be trustworthy? I mean, what a great testimony. When people look at you, Justin, and say, you know what, Justin, I can trust you. Patricia, I can trust you. I want those kind of relationships with each other so I can trust them. No matter what I tell them, no matter what I do, they're not going to condemn me, but they're going to support me. They're going to pray for me, and they're going to keep it in the vault. As Seinfeld said, we keep it in the vault, you know. We've got to learn to keep it in the vault. Now listen, guys, let me say this to you today, guys. As men, we don't struggle with this very much, do we? Ladies, I'll be honest, I really don't, not those exceptions. The guys, we really don't struggle with this. Why? Because we don't talk to anybody. We keep everything in the vault, period. And so our biggest struggle is just being honest, you know. But ladies, let me say, this really comes to a point where you are very willing to talk about a lot of things. And as ladies, you're already wired to want to share everything that's going on in your life. That's just the way you're wired. You're ready to talk about it, everything you're feeling. And that's good. That's a good part of being a lady. You can get those out there. As guys, we got to learn how to get our emotions out there. As guys, we're learning how to be more honest with each other and build these relationships. Ladies, you don't have a hard time with this, okay? But some of the things you do have a hard time is knowing when to shut up. All right, you love me as your pastor. I know you do. But let me tell you this, because sometimes we'll tell everything that's going on in our life, and then we can't stop there. That's not enough. We got to tell everything that's going on in our best friend's life, everything that's going on in my sister's life, everything that's going on in my co-worker's life, and because we want to pray for them. I'm just telling you, we pray for them. Oh, come on. Don't look at me that way. You know I'm telling the truth, ladies. We really struggle, don't you? There's times, guys, I know we're not, and there's times we can walk this path, but ladies, I know it's more challenging for you to say, you know what? Oh, I need to keep my mouth shut sometimes because gossip betrays my friends. And as a Christian woman, people need to know that come to you and trust you. Let me say it again. As a Christian woman, people need to know that come to you and trust you. And when they come to you in confidence, when they find out, they know that you find nothing about them, and they know that they can trust you. I mean, what the bond that you have. I mean, that just strengthens your bond when you know that person knows my weaknesses. Yet they still love me, and they don't tell anybody about it. But I can pour my heart out to them, and they hear me. But being a Christian woman means that I keep my mouth shut at times. And I need to learn that I don't need to talk to everybody about everybody, even if I am trying to pray for them. Really what it is gossip. Well, we don't want to call it that. We call it prayer request. We call it worried about them. But it becomes very easy to be gossip, you know. And so let's throw it around there, because when we allow that spirit of gossip through a prayer request come out, what happens? We are separating ourselves and proving that we're not trustworthy as a friend. And we'll never develop the kind of friendships, the kind of relationship the Scripture is calling us to develop, because we're not proving ourselves to be trustworthy. And so some of these ladies, we wonder why we never keep close relationships. Somebody, I get a good friend, and then I lose them. I get a close friend, and then I lose them. I say, check yourself. Are you being a trustworthy friend? Can people trust you? I tell you this, if you find a person who's trustworthy, then that person is a friend magnet. I remember in college, it seemed like everybody went to one or two people. You know what I'm talking about? You remember college, man? We live in these dorms, and it's like everybody went to one or two people with the problems. Why was that? Because they word got around. You can trust this person. They will pray for you. They will hear you out. But they're not going to tell everybody your problems. And so when people find that, they treasure that so much that everybody will be a magnet to those people who they know they can trust. Learn to say, God, I don't want to be that kind of person who doesn't spread gossip, who doesn't talk about others' weaknesses, but is a builder up. And when I hear someone who makes a mistake, that I can love them, I can shelter them, I can cover them, and let them know that, you know what, it's going to be okay. I'm going to support you. And I'm going to keep it in the vault. The only person I'm going to talk to you about will be God as I'm praying for you. It's a discipline of being a true friend that we've got to learn as we're going to get past these surface relationships and get to the deep level that God's calling us to be. It says that true gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 16:28. Gossip separates close friends. Number four, I must be candid. Got to be honest. And this is a tough one right here, because how do we be honest? Look at Proverbs 27:5-6. Says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. A friend can say something to you, and it can be the truth. And even though it hurts, you will receive it because they are a true friend. And part of being a true friend is being able to be honest with each other. We have too many people who are not afraid to be honest with each other. We have people who are thinking one thing, and that person is doing something that is ruining their life, spiritually, physically. Yet we don't ever want to say a word because we don't want to offend them. Now listen, God has not called you to go around and be everybody's counselor. God has not called you to go around and point out everybody's mistakes. This is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is with people you have built personal relationships with, people you have built strong relationships, lasting friendships, and there comes a level where you have open rebuke. When I say open rebuke, it means this, that I can talk to you openly. Because why? Because I don't want you to destroy your life. You have a coworker that you consider a close friend. You need to tell them what you're doing will cost you your family. You don't want to do what you're doing. Do I sit around and I get involved? No, I tell them, you don't want to do what you're doing.
You don't want your children to go through what you're going to put them through. You don't want to give up what this addiction is going to cost you. You don't want to pay the price this affair is going to take you down. All these things, you have an ability to speak to them the truth. You have a responsibility, but it must be done candid. It must be done open. A true friend speaks the truth. Everybody has got blind spots. A person who thinks he doesn't have a blind spot at least has one. Right there. Proverbs 24:26, the good news verse, says, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Let me give you three rules about how to be candid, to be open with friends. Okay, this is the way we're supposed to do it. As Christians, this is the way we do it, okay? Some of you, this is not a license. This is not a license to go around to be the sheriff in everybody's relationship. But as you develop close friends, there comes a time where you can be honest with people. This is how we do it. Number one, you can compliment in public, but you correct in private. Isn't that good? We compliment in public, but we correct in private. We can learn this in our marriages. Okay, this is a good marriage advice also, isn't it, guys? Amen? Wives say well, amen? Okay, we're good. So many times we think, well, because we are married to the person, we can correct them in public. But I love them in private. But I correct them, though, it works as the opposite. We've got to learn it. Listen, we all struggle with this, right? So we got to learn that we correct in private, we love and compliment in public. This is how people will be open to you when you compliment them in public, when you praise them in public, and when you're in private, when you need to talk to them about something serious and you need to tell them about correction in their life. They're going to be a lot more open to receive it when it's one-on-one, when people aren't around, and they know that you got their back. They know they can trust you, then they'll be open to receive correction from you. Number two, you never rebuke a friend until you have proven that you are open to receive rebuke from them. Well, I don't ever do anything wrong. Excuse me. If you are going to have that kind of relationship where you can actually talk to that person about things that need to change in their life, then you need to be open also. You need to have proof it to them. You know what? I'm just as open to you telling me some things I need to work on in my life as well. And when you have proof it to them that they can speak to you, then you, in return, have a right and have built that relationship of trust that you can then speak to them. But don't come in and start blasting somebody that you have not built any relationship with at all. God has not called you to carry your Bible to your breakroom tomorrow and pull it open and tell them all they're going to hell and what's going on, okay? But God has called you to come in and build a relationship with them, and so you can, at some point, you can get beyond the surface level and say, they know they can trust you, they can share with you, and they can know that what you tell them is not going to be spread around the workplace. And then you can come back and say, you know what, let me tell you some things that might help me in your life. It helped me in my life. Let me tell you how God changed my life. And the path you're going on, tell you, it only leads to destruction. Let me tell you a different way that will lead to developing you in a better way in your life. You have an opportunity, but do not begin to go out and rebuke somebody and tell them everything they're doing wrong and things are messing up in their life until you, in return, are open to receiving that from them. Okay? It's a two-way street. And so this is kind of this good correction. Number three, correct them when they are up, not when they are down. Let me say it again. Correct them when they are up, not when they are down. The best time to correct them is not when they just messed up. People don't need somebody to come in and kick them when they're down. They already know they're down. When somebody's blew it, made a mistake, they don't let you come in and say, I told you. If you'd listen to me, I tried to tell you 2 weeks ago, if you kept on doing this, you're going to end up in the hospital. I told you, if you didn't do this, your wife's going to leave you. That's not the time to do that. The time to do that is when? After you have helped them up, after you've loved on them and helped them get back on their feet, and then you come back to him and say, all right, now, what did we do to get the situation? Some things you did in your life that got you in a situation. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you some things, okay? Don't kick them when they're down. Don't come in and try to correct them when they're down, because they're not going to receive it. But when they know that you are helping them back up, when you're helping them get back on their feet, then they're going to be open to receiving of you because they know that you love them. So correcting them when they're on their way up, not when they're on their way down. This even goes further beyond the relationship with friends. It goes in relationships with our spouse, too, doesn't it? Ladies, guys, when we come home, guys, you come home and you want to dump on your wife about something that's really bugged you about her, you're upset because you found out something that day and you're ready to come home and blast her. And you come home and the kids have had a horrible day and, you know, things didn't go right, the dishwasher broke, the dryer's not working right, it won't dry all the things right, and the kids are going crazy, and this has been broken, and cars, I mean, all these things are happening, and she's had her day just frazzled, and then you come home ready to blast, it's not the time to unload your life, okay? Same way, ladies, when you come home, you've had a bad day, all those things have happened to you, and he's had a tough day at work, as soon as he walks through the door, it's not the time to unload on him. Where have you been all day? I think you just been in this house. Let me tell you what happened to me. You know, unload. Pick your time. Don't pick your time. When you need to talk about the things that are bothering you, the things that are hurting, pick your time to do that, okay? You correct and you help and you talk to them, but they'll come in and say, I need your help today. You're not helping me at all. You know, when he's come in, he's had a bad day at work and things are bad, that's not the time to come in and ask for that. But after he's come in and he's had a chance to get his mind relieved a little bit, you know, he's had to rest and focus, and the kids are calming down a little bit, and he comes and goes, listen, I got to tell you something. I really need a little more help from you. We really need to work better as partners on this thing. And then he's going to be more open to receive what you're saying. If you come in the door and he's had a bad day at work and you've had a bad day at home and you start blasting into each other, it's going to do no good at all. Matter of fact, what's it going to do? It's going to bring separation into your relationship. And you that day after day after day, you're driving the wedge more and more and more. So we got to learn to be wise in our correction to each other. A true friend corrects when he picks the right time to do it. Proverbs 27:9 says, the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is what? Wisdom. There is safety. Number 5, to develop lasting friendships, I must be constructive. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Real genuine friends build each other up. Real friendships will help bring you up. They will lift you up. They will motivate you to be better. They don't demotivate you. So if you have people who demotivate you, these are not people who need to be your friends. Let me say it again. If you have people who demotivate you, these are not the people who need to be your close friends. When you're around certain people and they cause you to want to do certain things that you know you shouldn't do, then you need to end those relationships. But when you're around people, when you're around them, they make you want to be a better Christian. They make you want to study your Bible. They make you want to pray and trust God more. They make you want to be a better husband or a better wife. They make you want to be a better employer. They make you, you know what I'm talking about. You're around certain people and they just encourage you, don't they? Ask the people you want to go to. You find a person like that, you just go ahead and imagine, right to him. Hey, you're my new best friend. What? You make it your new best friend. You be around those kind of people. That's the kind of people you want to be around. Because being a true friend is being constructive. Same way, you got to learn to be that kind of friend to people. When you want to develop relationships, you got to be a person who encourages. Be an encourager. I mean, we should make that a priority who we are. I'm going to be an encourager, not a discourager. It has to be something that takes place. It's a mental and spiritual transformation that's got to take place in our heart, in our mind, in our mouth. Because we can so easily pick out the negative every day, can't we? It's so easy for us to pick out the negative things to focus on. It's like the negative always begins to get our attention. And so as a Christian, especially, we have a responsibility to say, you know what, I'm not going to focus on the negative. I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the things that I can control. I'm going to focus on the things that I can make better. And I'm going to be an encourager to people. I'm going to be a kind of person who sharpens iron. He's talking about two irons coming together and sharpening each other. But I'm going to do my part to make my friends better, to encourage them, to look for ways to compliment them. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man chooses his companions carefully. Bottom line is this, you'll become like the people you hang around. You'll become like the people you hang around. Now, how many of us teach our children this? And if you don't, parents, it should be a priority of you that we teach our children this, that they can know that you become like the people you hang around. That's why if I do not like your friends, you're not going to hang around them. Well, you can't pick my friends. Yes, I can. And yes, I will. You didn't control me at school. Yes, I will. Because I know if you hang around the wrong people, you'll become like the wrong people. It just happens. It's not by accident. It happens. You have good kids. You have good teenagers. You want to keep them good? Make sure the friends that hang around are good. exceptions. You can't watch your kids 24/7. There's an ability of trust that comes along with that. But as parents, we have a right to know who our kids are hanging around. And I don't allow my kids to hang around people that I know are negative in their life, that I know are going to bring them down. Now, the same point. How hypocritical of me to expect that out of my kids, but yet I'll hang around people who bring me down spiritually. How hypocritical of me to expect my children to act that way, but yet spiritually I'm an adult, so I can do what I want to do. No, it doesn't change. Whether you're 6 or 66, it does not change. I become who I hang around. They will affect you whether you want to believe it or not. Whether you're a strong Christian, whether you've been saved 40 years, or you've been saved 4 months, doesn't make a difference. You will become like the people you hang around. And so we've got to learn that as friends, that we become the right kind of friend. We build people up, and then I hang around people who help build me up. I've told this story many times and as an example that my wife and I, we can tell you that there's times in our life that we've had to cut out relationships that brought us down. There's times, and I can remember one time in particular, we just had too many negative relationships in our life, and we had to stop hanging around certain people because they just begin to bring us down. And I caught myself talking negative about things that I shouldn't have been talking negative about. I caught myself saying things, and I found myself, why am I doing this? Because I'm around this person. That's all they did. And so we had to begin to weed ourselves out of those relationships and surround ourselves with people who speak positive, people who encourage, people who don't bring us down. A righteous man chooses his companions carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad companions corrupt good character. I mean, what honest answers right here. I mean, I don't need to get out the dictionary. I don't need to get out any kind of theology lesson here. It's pretty easy to understand that. Bad character corrupts what? Bad friends corrupts good character. Bad companions corrupt good character. It doesn't make a difference. You've seen this example before, how it's easier to be pulled down than to be pulled up. We try to pull people up. I'm going to hang around them. I'm going to help them out. It's a lot easier to be pulled down than to be pulled up. And so it's important that we surround ourselves with the right kind of people. When I become that kind of friend to others, that I am pulling people up, I am helping make them better, that I am being constructive, I am building them up. How do you know if you're a real friend? Let me say this is kind of a test. You know if you're a real friend or not. When somebody gets a job promotion, it's your friend. Do you say, all right, give them a high five and think that's good for them? Or do you think, secretly think in your heart, I wish I had my promotion. I can't believe they always get all the breaks. When your new friend gets a new car, do you go out there and kick your car around? I've been driving this car for 16 years, man. A true friend celebrates. You got a promotion, great. You're able to afford a new car, great. You guys got the new house, great. You got an inheritance, great. A true friend rejoices with you. But if you sit in your heart and you have jealousy, not that you don't have a little bit of envy, but you have jealousy. Well, you say, I never get mine, then you're not being a true friend. That's a good way to test your heart. A true friend isn't jealous. A true friend is an encourager. The Bible says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's being a true friend. When you rejoice and something happens good in your life, I'm high-fiving you saying, great. God bless you, man. I'm excited for you. And when you weep because things are going bad, I'm there weeping with you because your heart's broken. Just it breaks my heart. That's being a true friend. Learning that how to develop these friendships. And the last thing here, I must be consistent. I must be consistent. Being a true friend, developing these friendships, I must be consistent. Proverbs 17:17. If you're noticing, we're preaching a lot of Proverbs there, aren't we? I challenge you to go through and look through the book of Proverbs. There's 16 times it talks about the kind of friend we should be. 16 times in the book of Proverbs. It's a good little study. Write that down. Go back and look so you can find 16 times in the Bible in the book of Proverbs. It talks about being the right kind of friend. I must be consistent. Number 6. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Genuine friends is in your corner when you're cornered. Genuine friends help you get through when you're through. When you're ready to give up, they help you get through. Genuine friends will come to you and they will be consistent no matter what. Listen, we all need somebody, and we need that person to stay forever, people that we're close to. I mean, you'll never know who your true friends are until you go through something that's really bad in your life. I mean, it really brings out the best of it. When something happens to you and a crisis happens in your life and you're not always the most popular person around, people are mad at you and things are happening, that's your friend, then you really have a test to see, am I really going to be a true friend or not? Am I really going to be the kind of person that helps build that person back up to where they need to be? Am I going to be the kind that's restore them to where God wants them to be? Am I going to love them in spite of their mistake? Am I going to love them through what's going on? Now, when you go through the fire, it really tells who your friends are, who you can trust, who's going to stick with you. It's a real true sign. When your friends go through fire, when you are consistent with them, and you stay with them, and you help them up, you are being the friend that God has called you to be. A friend loves at all times. The brother is born for adversity. That means, man, when things are going bad, that's when your friend needs you the most. Well, I don't want to get involved. He said to you, get involved if you're a true friend. I don't want to take sides. Take a side. Get involved in their life. And let them know that you're there to love them no matter what. Take both sides. You get involved somehow. And let them know that you're there to love them no matter what. We all need somebody. Everybody needs somebody. David and Jonathan had this kind of relationship in their life. Jonathan was King Saul's son. He was next in line to be the next king of Israel. But David was openly anointed. Through Samuel, remember Samuel anointed him, you're going to be the next king? But yet, rightfully, it was Jonathan's. But you ever see in Scripture, well, those two guys were the closest, the best of friends. They were like brothers because God put their heart together. There was no jealousy, like, you're taking my throne, you know, and God's called you to take the throne that I am rightful to by my inheritance. You don't see any of that. I mean, Jonathan had David. Jesus had his disciples. Paul had Barnabas. Batman had Robin. I mean, they're all there. We all need somebody. And if you're here today, guys, and this is really to you guys, and I'm speaking to the ladies about gossip, and guys, I'm speaking to you very clear at this point, because I believe we struggle with this more than the ladies do. Guys, we all need somebody. As a man, we'll go all our life and never develop close relationships because we don't want to be able to be transparent with anybody. We don't admit our faults, and we're so busy, and we're so closed off, and we have a hard time just opening up to our family, more or less, to anybody else. But I say that we've got to develop those kind of relationships, and I know that it's a hard thing, and it's not going to happen unless you purpose in your heart to do it. But I'm going to get involved and build this kind of relationship. This is the kind of things that comes to being the kind of friend that God has called us to be. So I'm closing the day. Let me say this. The unfriendly Christians are the poor testimony of who God is. Let me say it again because you need to hear that. Unfriendly Christians are a poor testimony of who God is. And I know every one of you here today, if I ask you, do you want to have a good testimony? Yeah, we all want that. But when you are unfriendly, you are a poor testimony of who God is. It should be a strive that we become friendly people. And not just becoming friendly, but we go to the next level and begin to develop some close relationships with people we can trust. Now, I know it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some effort. It takes being this kind of person. It takes time to prove you can trust and you can't trust. And I know those things take time. But they also take effort. It's the kind of relationships God has called us to. Because at Destiny Church, I believe God has called us to be people of relationship. That we're not just called to come here and something to play in. They have a social club, and that's it. It's a good place to worship. I like that. They have good music. You know, that's it. You know, and I'm coming here to worship. But God is calling us to go to a different level. God is calling you to go beyond just coming to church, but plugging in with a group of people and saying, let's do church together. Let's do life together. Let's encourage each other. Some of you here, you struggle being consistent. At church, you struggle at times because somehow you just haven't been able to click with some people. You haven't been able to get a hold of a group of people. And I say to you, this is a good time to do that. Over the next few weeks, you're going to hear us talking about our small group ministry and the things we're going through. It's a great big part of Destiny Church and who God is called us to be. I believe that as we grow larger, we must grow smaller. And I mean, simply this, we've got to continue to develop small groups of people who are meeting and developing friendships, who can develop these different levels of friendships we're talking about today. You're not going to develop this kind of relationship I'm talking about today. You're not going to be this kind of friend I'm talking about today unless you get beyond a Sunday morning and get plugged into people. And so we're going to be talking about home groups that are starting up. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I would like to lead a home group. Great. We'd love to have you lead a home group. We'd love to help you, maybe help co-lead a home group. Maybe you'd like to open up your home and somebody else lead. I don't know where, but everybody needs to be involved in a home group. You can be involved in a small group somewhere, whether it's here at the church or at somebody's home. We've got to get connected with people. We've got to build a relationship with each other. That's what the Bible's all about. Look at the New Testament. That's what they did, man. They worshiped together like this, and they also went home to home, breaking bread together, and fellowshipping with one another. That's the New Testament church, is what it's about. Today, I've asked the Harlins, Tom, David, where you guys at? He asked him, they're going to be assisting me in leaving. He asked him, just stand for a second, you can see. They're going to be assisting me in leaving our small group and home group ministry. And today, if you would like to be involved in that, if you would like to lead, or I want you to get to see them and say, listen, put me on the list. I'd like to be involved in that. I would like to know more about that and leading possibly. How do you do that, Pastor? It's very simple. Every week I have a PowerPoint. I print out a copy of the PowerPoint and put it in the back. And our home group leaders, they go by and they get those PowerPoint and take them home with them. And then when they have the group meets on Sunday night or whenever the time they meet during the week, they simply just take the PowerPoint and go over to the message. Talk about how does the message relate to your life and my life. And it's just very simple. Get together for prayer, for fellowship, and just talking about the message when God's speaking to us. It's not a hard thing to do. The main thing is just opening up your home and saying, I want to be a part of that, leading that, and facilitate that. So you don't have to be a great Bible educator to do this, okay? So be able to read the PowerPoint and walk people through it and say, what do you think about this? You know, this is what it meant to me, what it meant to you. Very simple thing to do. Open up your home. Be a part of the ministry. I believe that God has called us to do that. I believe that Pastor has talked about it. Everybody's here to be a minister. Everybody's here to be involved in ministry. You have a gifting. And you're going to discover it as you build these relationships. Another thing I want you to do, 2 weeks from today, is that the 28th, is that right? The 28th? 2 weeks from today, I'm calling it Take a Friend to Lunch Sunday. Take a Friend to Lunch Sunday. I want you to mark it on your calendar. I want you to mark it on your planner. Write it down in your bulletin, whatever you're doing. This is your challenge. My challenge to you is your pastor. I'm asking you this. I want you to find somebody you never fellowship with before, okay? I mean, somebody you've never had to your house or somebody you've never went out to dinner with. And I want you to get with them after church for lunch. Can we do that? Okay? I want you to find somebody you've never gone out to lunch with or you've never fellowship with and say, you know what? Can we just go out to lunch? You know, you can either have them to your house, you want to invite them to your house for lunch, or you could go out to eat together and everybody can pay for their own, but they can close together. Find somebody and say, let's do lunch on the 28th, 2 weeks from today. Can you do that? I know it's a hard thing sometimes to think about. I don't know the pastor. Yeah. Well, I just started going to church here. Well, welcome to the crowd. Look around. We've all just started going. This is not an old church. We've only been here, you know, about 2.5 years since we first started with 7 or 8 families. I mean, We're new, and so everybody's new, and there's a lot of people who don't know each other. And so I just say, don't be afraid to go to that person and invite them. And say, hey, can we do lunch? Is that all right? Go to that person in the section. Maybe you've been thinking about it. This gives you a good excuse to do it. It's kind of like prom. You know, prom, you never want to ask that girl out. But then with prom, you're like, I can do it, you know? And so you got the courage to do it. This is kind of the same way we are. I'm giving you the spiritual prom right here, okay? It's Sunday. Don't worry about it. Okay, this is coming to church as you are. But go to that person and ask, hey, can we go to lunch? Can we hang out? Maybe you want to have a couple of people out with you. Maybe you want to have a couple of families. It's fine. Just find some people and go out for the first time together. Start somewhere. We're going to be talking about building these friendships and getting involved in a home group. And you're going to need to get involved. I'm going to ask you to get plugged in as we begin to advertise our groups or a meeting, where they're meeting at. I'm going to invite you to find a group that you can get plugged into and get there. Let's multiply it. Let's reach people by loving them. Okay? It's important that we do that. We love each other. Also, we have coming up, we have the Super Bowl party coming up February the 3rd. That's an all-church fellowship. I know you may not like football. I know there are a few people who don't like football. But it's not about football, really. It's just an excuse for us to get together and have fun. Come and meet some people. Come and fellowship and bring your food, bring your games. Just kind of hang out, cheer if you want to watch football. Whatever it is you want to do, but just come and be a part and build some relationship with each other. Get out of your box of being just me and my family and say, you know what, we need to develop this kind of relationship because I'm going to need somebody to help me when I'm down. I'm going to need somebody to help make me better. And it comes when I stretch myself out and say, you know what, I gotta get out of my comfort zone. I gotta meet some new people. So we're gonna do these things over the next couple of weeks. So I'm gonna invite you to be a part of that. As God has asked us to step forward. I'm gonna ask you to be a more friendly person. That you're looking for people who are coming into the church for the first time. If you don't recognize them, whether they've been coming for one Sunday or they've been coming for 1 year, if you don't recognize them, some people go up to them and say, "Hey, my name is John." If that's not your name, they'll say that. But if you know what your name is, go up there and say, "What's your name?" is and say, "Hey, what's your name?" Find out where they live, find out who they are, how long you've been coming to the church. Get out of your comfort zone, okay? It's important that we establish right now that we're going to be a friendly church because God is a friendly God. That He loves us and He went out of His way to be friends with us, and He left a heavenly throne, came and walked this earth and gave His life for us. He got out of His comfort zone, so we have to get out of our comfort zone and make us a friendly place. I know a lot of you do that already, and I compliment you. You go out of your way to make people feel good. But I'm talking about as a body, we gotta learn to take the next step. We all are looking to make people feel welcome and build those relationships. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and say, "Pastor, you're talking about building relationships with people, and I've never accepted Jesus Christ in my life. I know I preach a relationship message about friends, but I'm asking you about a relationship message about Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you say, "I need to accept Jesus Christ in my life. I'm here this morning through the music and through what's going on. I just feel like I need to give my life to Christ. I don't want to pass up this opportunity for you to accept Jesus Christ. I will not embarrass you. Nobody's looking around at me, but I want to give you a chance to say, "I want to accept Jesus." Can you just raise your hand today where you're at? Say, "I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life today. Ask Him to be Savior of my life. I want to give my life to Him." Anybody good today? Can you raise your hand so I can see? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for being honest. Anybody else that fits me? I'm going to ask us all to pray this prayer because we have people who raised their hand this morning and said they want to accept Jesus. What a great thing. That's an awesome thing. That's why we're here. That's still the most important thing, so people have a chance to give their heart to God. If you raised your hand today and said you want to accept Jesus, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads. Let's all pray this prayer. "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am, my pain, my failure, my sin. I give you everything. I accept your forgiveness today. Be Lord of my life. I will follow after you. In Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer today, you say, "Welcome to the family, God." Yeah, what a great thing. Pray that prayer today. You need relationships more than anybody ever talking about today, because you need to get with people who are going to help make you better. Somebody invited you, let me know that, "Man, I pray that prayer, but I meant it. I need your help. I want to be a Christian." We also have a new packet for you in the back. It's got, so what I do next, it's got a New Testament and some other things back there I want to give you. Just says, "Hey, I made a decision for Christ." Here's a very bad one I have for you today. When you leave today, stop and get that free gift from us. I don't know if everybody else is standing. Can you stand this morning? As we close out in prayer today, I want you to say, "God, I want to be a friendly person. I want to be the kind of relationships that Pastor talked about today, where I can be the kind of friend that God's called me to be, and encouraging." And for some of you, maybe you're here today and you say, "You know what? I've had a hard time with this because I have a hard time just giving out. I want to ask God to help me get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to ask God to help me to be so, to be so afraid that you're giving out and making friends. I've been hurt in the past, but I'm asking God to help me to begin to trust people again. And I'm also asking God to help me begin this kind of friend to be a trustworthy friend according to Proverbs." Father, I pray right now for every person here. I pray that, Father, you would help us, Lord, to develop these kind of relationships that is a biblical relationship according to the Word of God. Not only do we develop this kind of relationship, but God, help us to be this kind of friend, a trustworthy friend that encourages, that builds up, that doesn't gossip, that doesn't tear down, but God, it encourages, it makes people better, it encourages people to be better, and God, together, we reach people for you through your love. By loving you, God, first, Lord, our vertical relationship with you, and then you said loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the horizontal part, God. We're loving you vertically, God, with all our heart, and in return, you said the second greatest command is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So God, help us, God, to learn to love people, Lord, so your love will be a true friend. In the name of the Lord, we say today. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you today. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great week.